All right, how's everybody doing today? We all right?
Good.
All right. Glad to hear it. I'm so glad. We are so glad here at MidCurrent to have you with us today. The calendar, in case we haven't noticed, the calendar has officially flipped to December. There is a fresh blanket of snow on the ground, and Christmas, everywhere we look, it is officially in the air. And so we are actually excited to be beginning a brand new Christmas message series today, as you heard, called Unexpected. I am sure we've heard it all before, that big things come in small packages. I'm sure you have heard that before. That very, very well may be true, especially of some of the gifts that may end up under your tree this year. And yet, as we examine some of the details and some of the stories surrounding the birth of Jesus, I think we are going to discover over the course of this series that some of the greatest gifts that God wants to deliver to us, they come in some of the most unexpected packages. And so over the next few weeks, I want to help you and I want to help all of us to develop eyes to see and to recognize those gifts from him, because I think they are gifts. If we could see them, if we could spot them, if we could receive them, I think they are gifts that could make this the best Christmas ever. Before we get to all that, I want to tell you just a little bit about me. I personally am a big fan of, you could say, efficiency, right? I'm a big fan of saving time or using time as wisely as I can. For instance, this may be TMI, I don't know. I like to shave my face in the shower so I don't have to set up a whole new process at the bathroom sink when it's all over, right? Do I occasionally get halfway through the day and embarrassingly discover that I missed a small spot on my chin? Yes, that has happened every now and again, but that's not the point. In the moment, I'm very proud of the time that I have saved, okay? I love to plan out how long one thing will be on the stovetop so that simultaneously I can start another in the microwave, clean up everything, get everything back in the fridge so by the time the microwave beeps, the counters are clean and the food is coming hot off the stove, right? It takes some strategic planning, but when it all works out, I feel so proud inside that it all timed out so well. Okay, when I'm cleaning up around the house, I find it very satisfying. I'm not exaggerating. I find it very satisfying to plan as efficient a route as I can throughout the house, right? I don't like backtracking, so I like to try to, you know, drop the dishes off at the counter on the way to the front closet to hang up coats, all while dropping shoes off at the front entryway as well, making a perfectly sequential loop, right, from one thing to the next. I do not want to waste a single step in the wrong direction, okay? And this kind of thinking applies to road trips as well, maybe most of all. I like efficiency, yes, and I like punctuality, and maybe even more than being punctual, I find it strangely, strangely satisfying to see if I can be just a little bit early. Right, I love to try to beat the estimated time of arrival down on the Google Maps. You know, you got the miles and you got the estimated time of arrival. I like to see if I can beat the ETA, right? And so you can ask my wife this. I'm continually, on any road trip, I'm continually monitoring the ETA and how it changes due to traffic or to, you know, slower speed limits or you know, gas and bathroom stops with three little kids, okay? And if at any point I start losing time, I pride myself on trying to make up time somehow, somewhere along the way. On time is certainly the goal, but shaving off a minute or two, it is so satisfying for me. Very satisfying. And so for someone like me, okay, there is nothing, on any kind of road trip, for someone like me, there is nothing worse than one of these right here. On any kind of road trip. Detours. The absolute worst, okay? You have no idea where you are. You have no idea what direction you are now heading. You know, have no idea how, you know, far out of the way that you are traveling, how long this detour is going to last. And most painfully, right, you have no idea how many minutes this is going to add to your trip. It's awful, right? I mean, who thought one little street sign could, you know, induce so much anxiety? Anybody with me on this? Just a little bit? Okay, a couple head nods. Okay, well, either way, you may or you may not be as bothered by a detour out on the open road like I am. But I am willing to bet, I can't be certain, but I am willing to bet that detours are a lot less welcome when it's not a road trip that they are interrupting, but the life that you are living. I'm willing to bet that these kind of detours in our life are a lot less welcome. See, my guess is that you most likely have a pretty good roadmap. We're good at this kind of stuff. My guess is you have a pretty good roadmap marked out for your life. You've got point A, which is where you are right now or where you maybe have been at some point. And you've also identified point B, right? It's where you're heading. It's where you'd like to be. It's where you'd like to arrive. And not only do you have a course kind of marked out, but I'm willing to bet that you've also got a timeline mapped out as well, right? For when you'd like to arrive at wherever it is you were hoping to arrive, for your marriage or for your kids or for your career. Maybe it's, you know, in personal goals or professional goals, or maybe it's spiritual goals or something else. See, when it comes to these types of goals, when it comes to these kinds of journeys in our life, right, I don't think that many of us ultimately have the patience for detours or for interruptions or for slowdowns or for setbacks to the plan, to the timeline that we set out. I know I didn't. I struggle with these kind of slowdowns and setbacks. It took me way longer, in fact, than I expected to end up right here, right? Doing what it is that I thought that I was supposed to do. It took me way longer than I expected. At 22 years old, I graduated college and I got a job at a big church out in Colorado. I just got married and I was ready to take on the world. And instead of all the pieces falling into place for my life out west, right? Instead, life turned out to be one unexpected turn after the next. And so in 13 years that my wife and I have been married, we've moved 5 times. We've lived in 2 different apartments and in 3 different houses in 3 different states. We've attended 1 grad school and have served in 4 different churches. And I think it was the 3rd move in 3 years into a tiny 3rd floor 1970s styled shag carpeted apartment in Chicago when I realized, I think I'm taking the long route here, right? I'm thinking I might not be getting where I wanted to be as quickly as I thought I would. And I have a hunch that someone here today, someone maybe tuning in online with us today, I have a hunch that someone is in the very same boat. I believe that somebody here today has their own story or their own stories of the slowdowns or the setbacks or the winding roads or the unexpected twists and turns and detours in their own life. And I know full well that these kind of detours, they can be incredibly discouraging. They can be genuinely difficult to comprehend, to understand what's going on, that they can cause you to doubt just how good God is or whether or not, you know, God even exists or whether God even sees you or cares about you or cares about what it is that you are experiencing. I get that. But what I want to suggest to you today, as we begin this new series, what I want to suggest to you today is that a detour in your life, it could be the greatest gift from God to you, wrapped in the most unexpected of packages. And so if you want to see how it is even remotely possible that whatever detour you are experiencing right now could actually be a good gift from God, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to look with me at Matthew chapter 2 and the stories that detail some of the moments just after the birth of Jesus, because we're going to see one of the most famous detours that God ever orchestrated. So here's chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says this: Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Okay, now on the surface, this feels so Christmassy, doesn't it? I mean, we all love the picture, the thought of this manger scene. It's Mary and it's Joseph and it's Jesus and it's some barnyard animals and an angel and a few wise men, right? It all seems so perfect. It all seems so warm and fuzzy, right? When we think about this stuff, it just feels so right, so warm and fuzzy. Not exactly. See, these wise men who actually came to visit, they were actually sent there by King Herod, we'll say with some ulterior motives, just to put it very mildly. See, Herod was installed as the king of Judea by the brutal Roman Empire. Okay, and essentially, Herod did kind of the dirty work for the Roman Empire there in Judea for some 30 years. And as the man in charge in that region, Herod considered himself to be the king of the Jews. And so he did not take kindly to any of these prophecies or predictions or now the swirling rumors of this newborn king of the Jews. And so him sending these wise men to Bethlehem, it was not some kind and gracious, royal gesture of the king. It was a devious and calculated reconnaissance mission, okay? He wanted the up-close and personal details about this so-called newborn king. He wanted an exact location on where this little baby was born. And ultimately, what he wanted to do was eliminate the potential threat that this little child was to his throne. And so that's why he sent these now famous wise men. It was a reconnaissance mission. Okay, but something interesting happens when the wise men arrive. From what is written, it appears that they really, truly do respond in worship to Jesus, right? That was kind of their cover story. When they were searching for Jesus' whereabouts, but it seems to be pretty genuine when they arrive. In fact, here's verses 10 and 11 as we continue reading. It says this, when they saw the star, the wise men, when they saw the star that was guiding them to, Jesus' location, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and they gave him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. Okay? The Bible doesn't say it specifically here, but something seems to have shifted in their hearts. Okay? They were there at the outset almost kind of undercover, as it would seem. Okay? But when they see with their own eyes the Savior of the world lying in a manger, they are filled with joy, and they respond in worship and praise to him. Okay? Pretty cool moment here, but soon their visit will come to an end. And when it does, here's what Matthew records of their departure. Pay very close attention. Verse 12. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by what? Another route. For God had warned them in a dream. God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Okay, Herod's paranoid jealousy has essentially reached a boiling point here, so much that God realizes he needs to intervene. And so he shows up in a dream to do so. Dreams were commonly understood in the ancient world to be a means of divine communication with humans. And so here, God is communicating with these wise men. He's warning them. He's giving them instructions that on their way home, on their journey back to their homeland, they should take a what? A detour. He's telling them, choose another route. He's telling them, you boys better take the long way home. You see, God knew what they didn't know. that if they traveled home on the route that all would have expected them to, if they traveled home on the route where Herod, you know, had strategically placed kind of the long arm of his military operations, right? If they would have traveled home on that route that everyone assumed that they would, on the route that they came in the first place, they would not have been able to avoid Herod. And Herod had dangerous, destructive, and devious plans in mind. And so the best way to avoid the disaster awaiting them was to take the long road home. Was to take a detour. Midcurrent, here's what this says to me. Sometimes a detour is God's defense against the destructive outcomes that we didn't see coming. Right? Sometimes he's asking us to take the long road home. Sometimes I think he's asking us to take the long road to wherever it is we are hoping to be. And here's why. See, our perspective, I think, is so limited. Oftentimes, our timeline and our roadmap resembles nothing of the one that God has laid out for us. It resembles nothing of the one that God knows is best for us. See, I mentioned these detours that I've experienced in my own life and in the recent past. It's all true. And I am doing now here at Midcurrent Church in the St. Croix Valley. I'm doing now what I felt so very capable of doing 13 years ago. And truthfully, in many ways, I'm kind of the same dude as I was back then. I think I have the same calling on my life as I did back then. I think I have the same personality and the same charisma. And I think I have the same God-given gifts inside of me. But let me tell you the truth that I couldn't see back then. I wasn't even close to being ready then to do what I'm doing right now. And very truthfully, I'm going to tell you that I have come to believe that each and every detour I encountered was preparing me better for today. Each new move, each new home, each new hometown, each new community, each new experience, each new beginning, right? Despite how confusing and despite how exhausting and frustrating and despite how even demoralizing it may have been at the time, each new twist and turn, it was preparing me to do today. Preparing me to do right now what I could not have done back then. And it's not just because I was too young. It's because I wasn't ready, right? I may have been, you know, talented enough or skilled enough. I may have been educated enough, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't mature enough. I hadn't developed enough. I hadn't experienced enough. I hadn't really, you know, strengthened the muscles that I was going to need to strengthen to carry the load, whether it was physically or emotionally or spiritually. And so here's the truth. Very honestly, I tell you this. I think it could have been a major disaster. I think it could have been a major disaster if I got what I wanted even one day sooner than I did. But God knew better. And God was orchestrating what was best for me. He was at work. I just didn't see it. See, the reality is that sometimes human ambition and human ability and intellect and strategy, sometimes all of those things in us, they cannot see the hand of God at work. Right? At the pace that we live our lives, you know, with the productivity and the efficiency that we pride ourselves on, we have to understand that it is possible in all of that to lose sight of the work of God around us. And I think Matthew includes these details here in the history of the beginning of Jesus' life with the hope that you and I, and that anyone who reads this story, anyone who reads his account, would open the eyes of our hearts, open the eyes of our faith to the working of God in the life of Jesus. Because sometimes we just don't see it, right? Sometimes our ambition is blinding. And so I don't know exactly, you know, where it is, or I don't know if it will be the same for all of us. It probably won't be, but I just wonder where in your life that may be true for you. I wonder what detours you might be, or maybe you have in the past. I wonder what detours you might be experiencing right now and what God might be doing there. Maybe you thought by this Christmas you'd have a ring on your finger, and you don't. Okay? And that's disappointing, right? Maybe, I don't know, but maybe you're not ready and you just don't know it. Maybe God is sparing you from some disappointment that you just didn't see coming, right? Because there is something you still need to learn about you, or something you still need to learn about God, or something you still need to learn about the step that you are going to take, right? Maybe you thought by this Christmas you would be expecting a child of your own by now. And the fact that you're not is discouraging. But maybe, I don't know, maybe now is not the time. Maybe there is something that still needs to develop in you or in your marriage or in your family or in your current situation in life before you bring a child into it. Maybe, I don't know if this is true for anyone here today, maybe you thought that 2019 was going to be the year that you finally got promoted, but you didn't. And maybe that was a huge disappointment. Maybe that came as a huge blow in your career. But maybe God said, nah, let's hold off on that. I know you can't quite see it coming, but 2020 is about to get real funky. Okay? And I'm not sure, right? If 2020 is your first year in charge for the promotion that you deserve, I'm not sure you're going to make it. And I want you to make it. Maybe God's saying, I want you to make it because I have big plans for you and for the influence that you can have right where you are. Not yet. Okay? Maybe by this point in your life, you thought you would be further along in some part of your career or some, you know, part of education, or you thought you'd be further along in retirement or somewhere else, or maybe you just thought you'd be further along in whatever plan, whatever timeline that you had laid out for you. Now, the truth is, I want to be clear about this. The truth is, there will be moments in life that are sometimes just downright disappointing, right? And I'm not trying to suggest or say to you today that every single disappointment is God protecting you from, you know, from something worse. I can't promise that's what every kind of disappointment is. But my hope today for you and for me, right? My hope is that you and I would put on a new set of lenses, so to speak. My hope is that we would start to evaluate this journey that we are on just a little bit differently. My hope is that in the middle of any kind of detour or any kind of delay that you might experience, you would start asking yourself a different set of questions, right? So rather than asking, hey, God, how could you do this to me? Rather than asking, God, what are you doing to me right now? Rather than asking, God, how could you send me on this kind of detour right now in my life? What if we asked, God, what do you want to develop in me in the middle of this detour? What if instead we said, God, what is it that you are doing on this detour that you are sending me on? Right? If these kinds of unexpected delays and detours, if they truly could be God's defense against what could otherwise be harmful or hurtful or dangerous or destructive or disappointing in life, then let's try to leverage them rather than lament them first, right? Let's do everything we can to learn or to just open ourselves up, open our hearts up to what God might be up to in our life or in our family or in our marriage or in our relationships or in our career or in our community or in our sphere of influence, or maybe just what God is up to in our hearts. See, here's the deal, Midcurrent. I really do believe that God wants to bless this world through you and through me. I really believe Jesus, when he told his followers, that includes you and me, I really believe when Jesus told them and told us that we would do even greater things than he did. But here's the deal. I don't think Jesus said that stuff hoping that we would just be, you know, some kind of overnight success, or that we'd be some kind of flash in the pan or some one-hit wonder. The truth is, this journey that we are on, it is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And that's why I love what the writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews reminds us, right? He says to strip off every weight, to throw off anything that hinders us and slows us down, and to run with endurance, he writes. To run with endurance the race that God has laid out before us. Friends, the race that is laid out before us, the race that we are running right now, it very well may be long and winding. It very well may be stacked with all kinds of switchbacks and setbacks and slowdowns and, yes, even detours. But they might be. They might just be God's gift to us if we would accept it. And so the question is, will we? Right? Will we run this race that we are on with endurance? Will we learn to embrace the journey? Will we learn to leverage as best as we can every twist and every turn along the way for the potential of where it is that God might be leading? What we consider to be the worst day or the worst year of our lives, it could be, in God's economy, it could be the very best day or the very best year of our lives that we just never saw coming. So this Christmas, or for the rest of this year, or for all of 2022, let's examine just a little bit differently. Let's examine life's delays. Let's examine life's detours for opportunities to see where it is that God might be at work in us. Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for the start of this season, God. It's on all of our calendars, right? Regardless of how it is that we celebrate or whatever our traditions are or why we have those traditions or why we're excited, God, the month of December is circled on all of our calendars as something to look forward to. And now here it is, God. Here it is. And we might be tempted to just breeze through this season, partaking in all of the festive things that we enjoy, all of the festive traditions that we look forward to. God, cookie decorating and exchanges and holiday parties and friends and lights and sleigh rides and the whole deal, God. But I pray that at some point in the midst of it all, it's not bad stuff, God. I pray that at some point in the midst of it all, you would help us to stop and to examine our own lives. God, to open the eyes of our hearts, to open the eyes of our faith so that we might see you working in the life of this Jesus, this Messiah, this newborn King. God, do not let this season pass without each of us taking a moment to ask ourselves, where exactly is God leading in my life? Where is God leading in my heart? What is God up to around me? God, I really believe if we would learn to embrace the journey that we are on and where it is that you might be leading in the midst of it, I really do believe that this could be the best Christmas ever, that this could be the best year yet. God, give us eyes to see where it is that you are at work around us. And most of all, God, give us eyes to see where it is that you are at work in us. God, help us to have the courage to take a look at ourselves, to take a look at our response to the slowdowns and to the switchbacks and to the delays and the detours. And God, help us to ask ourselves in the middle of those, what is God doing around me? What is God doing in me? And is there anything that he wants to develop in me on this detour that I'm on? God, we pray that you would be so present in our families. God, would you look over us, watch over us? Would you bring so much joy, so much peace? God, would you bring so much light into our lives into our families and into this community that we call home. We're so grateful for your son, Jesus, who is that light to each and every one of us into this world. And we give you thanks and we pray this thing. We pray all of this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for being with us today. It is honestly a thrill to have you here today. We know you could be in so many other places. And so the fact that you're here with us today is a huge gift to us. And we want to say thank you for joining us here on site or joining us online. We will be back here at Camp St. Croix and online next week at 10:30 for week number 2 in our series, Unexpected. And we would love to see you then. God bless. Have a great week.